Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As was mentioned earlier, we'll be listening and following from 1 John chapter 3. See what great love the Father has lavished on us. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, growing up, I always enjoyed watching magicians. And I think for a degree, I'm not alone in that. A lot of folks love seeing magic performed, though we know it's not real magic. Sleight of hand oftentimes, or some distraction takes your mind away from focusing. But the question that always follows, how do they do that? How do they make that person disappear or reappear or cut them in half? How do they do that? It's a wonderful question because we're just amazed and taken in by it all. Another illustration of being amazed about things is you have that newborn in your arms. Oh, what a beautiful child. Life will never be the same now that you've got the baby in the family, right? And then what happens? All of a sudden, that child is graduating, getting married, starting a family of their own. What happened? What happened from the time you held that little infant to the time you literally had to say goodbye, that they were on their own? Such is the case in the life of a Christian, isn't it? When did it all happen? Think about our readings this day. Our reading from Revelation took us to heaven, and we saw all the saints. We saw all of them rejoicing in the presence of their Savior and all the wonders of heaven. But yet the gospel reading took us to life in this earth. When Jesus was offering the Sermon on the Mount, he's telling about life in this world. What made the difference? What changed everything? And so we focus on 1 John to see that it's the lavish love of the Lord that gives us life. Life for now and life forever. John opens it up with a command, a directive. See what great love the Father has lavished on us. He says we're supposed to look now and take a look at all that God has done. I love the term lavished on us. I always think of lavished as whipped cream on a piece of pumpkin pie that you just keep putting it on until you can't really see the pumpkin pie anymore. That's lavishing it. That's how you're supposed to, in the summer, apply your sunscreen, isn't it? You put it on so you can't see anything. It looks like you have a new shirt painted on you. That's how God gives us his blessings. Now, with the commercials coming out on TV for Christmas and all the gifts that are being opened, take a look. There's no sparse supply of Christmas presents under the trees in the commercials. Oh, no, they are lavish. There are piles of gifts there. That's the way God has blessed us. That's the way his love takes us from this world to eternity. It's a lavish love that he intended for us. It lavished on us that we should be called children of God. Before God steps in the picture, we are not children of God. From the time we are that little infant, we're born in the image of Adam. We are born sinners. And as sinners, we have no right to approach God, to talk to him, to love him or anything. Matter of fact, everything that God would want, we wouldn't want and don't want. And yet, what did God do? He lavished his love on us to make us his own children. Proud to be called his children. Proud for him to say, this one is mine. He does it in our baptism. He puts his name on ours. He says, in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, your sins are forgiven. You are my child, an heir of everlasting life. What love the Father has lavished on us. That's what takes us from one place to the next. It's sometimes a lavished love that because maybe we've enjoyed it so long, we don't appreciate on a day-to-day basis, do we? Do we really appreciate the fact that this is who we are, children of God? Might I ask? Is that the way we live our lives? Is that the way we give glory to God in the way we speak, in the way we go about our work, in the way we talk with one another, in the way we deal with one another? Is that the way? Do we really reflect the love of the Father in us, knowing that it's only because of His love, not because of something we've done, not because we've been really good, not because we've earned it or deserved it, but because of the innocent blood of Jesus Christ, God lavished His love on us and made us His children. That is what we are. And it says then, as John continues, the reason the world doesn't know us is that it didn't know Him. Why doesn't the world recognize the children of God? Well, they don't know God. They don't know the Lord of lavish love. They don't know the one who gave His one and only Son. Oh, there's plenty of gods they think they know. There's plenty they follow. There are wars being fought because they follow a god. But they don't know the lavish love of the Lord. And how would they recognize His children? Having served in the church for a number of years and having had the privilege to have generations that I served, I see in a child their mom or their dad, their actions, the way they cock their head to the side, the way they smile, maybe it's the color of their hair. I can see one generation to another. Do people see God's generation in us? Do they see our Heavenly Father in us, in the way we go about our life? Do we appreciate that we have been included in His family? We were once outsiders, lost and condemned creatures, as Luther would put it. And then what? God steps into the picture with a lavish love, makes us His own, gives us the title, children of God. And that is what we are. Never forget who you are. And how you got to be that way was not by chance, by lottery, by some coincidence. It was on purpose by God Himself. So often, it's so sad to hear of people that say, oh, life isn't worth living, or they're all despondent because nobody cares. God cares. He made you His own. He made you His own at a great sacrifice to Himself. You are a child of God through faith in Jesus. That's who God made you. And that's who we live for. Every day dedicated not to ourselves and what we can do for our happiness, but dedicated to God in thanksgiving for what He has given us. Given us even though we never had it coming to us or had ever earned it. Notice how he says, dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. He's talking about that reading from Revelation. We haven't been there yet. For now we live in this world filled with its corruption and sin, filled with its hatred and anger, filled with its jealousies and envy, filled with so many ways to disobey God instead of follow Him. People take a look and they say, what we will be has not yet been made known. Talking about as we enter into the end times of the church year, when we focus on salvation, when we focus on everlasting life. It's interesting when we had a conversation about that and someone mentioned that, oh yeah, it'd be really surprising all the people you'll see in heaven. And it will be surprised because you probably wouldn't note them because they never showed up in headlines, did they? They never showed all their wonderful works of love, the sacrifices made, the work that they did for the Lord as they did it for others, being the good neighbor, being the caring soul, watching out for one another. Nobody ever noted it much, but God did. He made them His own children. And as His children, they went about their day-to-day life knowing that they were loved, loved with that lavish love that God the Father poured out on them. And they are in heaven now. What a glorious thing to consider. on this Saints Triumphant, when we remember those whom the Lord has called to glory this past year. What a wonderful thing to think about, that God loved them, gave his Son for them, paid the awesome price of death for them, that they might be his own and live under him in his kingdom. That's what he did for us as well. That gives us greatest joy now, doesn't it, on this Saints Triumphant Sunday? To not only know that our loved ones in Christ are in that glory where there'll be no hunger, no thirst, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. No more sadness or sorrow. No more depressing news to watch. Only the glory of Jesus Christ to see, and the sound of his holy angels singing glory to him. My dear Christian friends, you are a child of God, lavished in his love, redeemed by his Son, Jesus, and looking toward that time when we will step into glory. This life, thankfully, is not all there is. This world is not all there is. God will step in, and he will come again in glory, that we will be with him. And oh, what a joy that'll be. Nobody knows that right now. We don't know the day or the hour when Christ will appear. But when he does, what does it tell us? We will be like him, for we will see him as he is. I can't even guess how many artists have tried to paint a portrait of Jesus. We know the classic ones, the long flowing hair, the beard, the mustache. We know those pictures. But there are others that show him differently. We don't know. There were no cameras at the time. There were no cell phones at the time to take his picture, to let us know what he looked like. But the angels did promise that he will come again in glory, and we will see him as he is, both true God and true man. That's what God did because of his great love for you, a love that he lavished on over and above what was necessary, because he saw our situation. He took care of our situation and loved us. There is never a time his love will grow old. His love will grow cold. His love will quit on you. There is never a time he will abandon you. There is never a time you can say, I'm not worth it and God can't love me. Oh, yes, he can. With a love so great that he would send his one and only Son. Think of the pain and suffering the Heavenly Father endured as he watched his Son go through hell for the likes of you and me, and gave to us the hope of everlasting life. That's what we have to look forward to. And what is that? And he says, and we'll be like him as he is. All who have hope in him will purify themselves just as he is pure. He says, we'll see Jesus just as he is. What a joy that'll be. Some people ask about heaven. They say, well, what's it going to be like? I don't know. I can't tell you because I've never seen perfection. I've never seen a situation or a society or anything without sin, without the impurity of Satan's evil hands. But I do know that Jesus will be there in all his glory, in the body that he took on so that he might be our substitute and our Savior. Folks, we don't deserve that kind of love. Love kind of does that at times. I believe too often people expect something from love. If I give it, then I should get something in return. A lot of relationships are broken up because, well, I didn't get it paid back to me. The love wasn't requited. It wasn't paid back. Think of God's love. It wasn't paid back, but we have opportunity to show it and to share it, to know a love that will never leave us or forsake us. Oh, forgive us, Lord. Forgive us for the times we are unloving toward your other children. We look at others. Sometimes we look with disdain at others if maybe they have hurt us or they've failed us in some way. But also take a look at that child and remember the same blood of Jesus Christ was spilled for that person as was spilled for you. You're talking to family here. I know in small circles, in small gatherings, in small communities, it's usually humorously said, it's easy to keep the eighth commandment, you know, the one about bearing false witness. It's easy to keep the eighth commandment because you don't want to say anything bad about anybody in the community because you're probably talking to a relative. When we serve one another, we're talking to God's children. We're talking to those he loved and gave his life for. That is the love that God has lavished on us. Walk as if you're in love with the Savior. Talk as if the Savior is your deepest love, with your whole heart and soul and mind. Go about fully comprehending, I am loved by God, the creator of all things, the ruler of the universe loves me. Oh, I know he loves the whole world, but he loves me. What a gift. He's forgiven me the many times I've failed, and he still loves me. That is the lavish love of the Lord that he has both for you and for us all. It's a lavish love that on Saints Triumphant we can appreciate because that lavish love was shared with those who walked in faith and now rest from their labors. My dear Christian friends, it's good that on a day we call Saints Triumphant or, you know, All Saints Day, that we might think of the gift of God's love. It's a great love. It's a love that is yours. It's a lavish love that God has poured over us. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. May it be evident, obvious, and in service to the Lord, a way to show our love. Amen. And now may the peace that comes to us through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ ever keep your hearts and minds in that true faith and in love with the Lord till we stand with him in glory everlasting. Amen.